Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Well, we had an awesome work day yesterday. You know, Jesus cleansed the temple two times. I think we did it twice yesterday. You know, I have a little preview. Being the pastor, I have a kind of a we have a game plan of worship. You know, we kind of know the songs and stuff. And so when I got up this morning, I looked at the order of worship and I saw that song, "I Dance Like David Danced," and I thought, Lord, I don't think I can do that today. I'm kind of sore after yesterday's workout. But I just said, no, it's going to be a sacrifice to the Lord. I'll give what I can give and just sacrifice to the Lord. And so, yeah. Well, praise God. You ready to receive the word?
Yes.
Boy, I'm ready to give it. Praise God. Praise God. We're on the subject of prayer. This is the third message of prayer. And today the title of the message of the Lord is Some Said It Thundered. Some Said It Thundered. We're talking about prayer. Today the topic is about prayer is supposed to be a two-way conversation. We talk to God, but we also listen to God. If it's just you telling God what you want, it's a monologue.
That's right.
It's to be a dialogue. Two-way conversation. You should be hearing God. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I would like to just kind of poll, but don't raise your hand. I would ask everybody, how many of you know you hear God talking to you? Don't raise your hand.
You're not listening.
You're not listening, yeah. But you should hear it. Do you know 16 times in the Bible, 16 times, Jesus himself said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me." He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And it's interesting to me that the last eight times that Jesus said that phrase, "He that hath ears to hear," he added what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Because Jesus left the earth and the Holy Spirit came and took his place for us. So we hear today what the Spirit is saying. We are the church, the body of Christ. And it's interesting that the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth. Obviously, we're supposed to hear twice as much as we speak. So we're talking about prayer. We're talking about hearing God talk to you. Hearing God. Now, today we're going to look in a moment at a scripture where God's voice was audible. Everybody could hear it. Everybody. You would think it'd be unmistakable. But first, in the New Testament, there are three times where the Lord spoke audibly. You know, at the baptism of Jesus, God's audible voice. Everybody could hear it. He spoke and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Everybody there could hear the audible voice of God. At the transfiguration, there's only Peter, James, and John. And they were having this awesome encounter with the Lord. And God's audible voice spoke and said, "This is my Son, hear him." Because they saw Moses and they saw Elijah, and they were kind of putting them all on the same equal ground. And God just interrupted that thought and said, no, I want you to, this is my Son. These are my prophets, but this is my Son, now hear him. God said that audibly. And then we're going to look at right now in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 27, Jesus is speaking. He said, "My soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Instead, For this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice, everybody say a voice, came from heaven saying, I have glorified it and I'll glorify it again. And the crowd that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. And then Jesus corrected everybody and he said, now this voice, it wasn't thunder. This voice came not for my sake. I didn't need to hear it. It came for your sakes. Now judgment has come upon this world. Now you may think hearing the audible voice of God would be the epitome of what you could experience with God. But I want to warn you that Jesus said, now judgment's come upon this world. The greater the revelation, the greater the judgment. If you don't obey it. If you heard the audible voice of God and didn't obey what God said to do, and you just said, no, that was just thunder, guess what? You're under greater judgment because you've had a greater revelation. So we're looking at this and ask the question, why is this in the Bible? Why is this particular incident in the Bible? Because it is more than likely you have heard and you are hearing the voice of God. And if your heart is not right with God, when you hear God, you'll say, nah, that was just thunder. It was the voice of God to you. Nah, that was just thunder. You'll talk yourself out of it. We just said 16 times Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. We all have ears to hear. Physically, and yes, I know he's talking about spiritually. But this is in the Bible because it is possible that you're hearing God, you can talk yourself out of it. You can say, no, that was just my imagination. That was just a crazy dream I had. Now, here's a question for you. What if God says something to me and I don't understand what he's saying to me? What if God speaks to me and I don't understand what he's saying to me? Let me put your heart at ease. You probably won't understand it at the beginning. Just so get ready for that. Often when God tells us something and speaks to us, we don't understand what he said. We understand what he said, but we don't understand what this means. Because he wants you to take it deeper with him. He wants to engage in conversation. He wants you to ask some more questions. Not the simple ones. He wants you to go deeper with him. In your relationship with him. But when God speaks to you, you often don't understand at first exactly what he means. That's pretty common. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, lean not into your own understanding. Yes. That's where you get in trouble. You start interjecting your opinion and your interpretation. Of what, well, God means this and God means that. Well, you don't know unless you hear directly from him. Amen. Your own biases and your own opinions and your own wrong theology, and we all have some, can mess up the truth of what God is saying to you. Amen. And you can interpret what God is saying to you, a clear, even an audible voice, and say, well, he's saying something else. Or that wasn't God, that was just thunder. And so the Bible says to him who believes, to him God belongs counsel and understanding. So if you lack understanding, you're supposed to go in deeper with him. And you ask God questions. And you have to keep asking questions until you get the question that he wants to answer. Because he usually doesn't answer my first questions like why. He usually doesn't answer that for me. And so I had to keep going until I asked the right question. And usually when I ask the right question that the Spirit wants me to ask, and it's trial and error, it's like bingo. It's like right away. Before I even finish asking the question, the answer has come into my heart. I already know. And I'm writing as fast as I can write. You catch a flow of God. The river. Are you understanding? Note that the crowd of people, the crowd, everybody say the crowd. Beware of the crowd. The crowd who all heard the same thing. The unmistakable, audible voice of God. Some of them said, that was thunder. Another one said, no, that must have been the voice of an angel talking to you. How could you mistake that? You heard it with your own ears. And this is in the Bible, and we're talking about today because it's possible for you to have a perfect word from God for yourself, and you let yourself get talked out of it. Now, whenever God speaks, especially right now, and I'm not saying I'm God speaking, but God's speaking through a preacher, and I just happen to be his preacher, and he's speaking through me. And when you read the Bible, or when you're on your own at home, or however, whenever God speaks, in however many different ways he speaks, whenever God speaks, the devil is nearby to snatch that word. And if he can't snatch the word, he'll send confusion into it by immediately interjecting your mind with all kinds of questions, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. Yea, hath God really said? Did he really say that? And that's exactly what he's doing today. And so you got to realize, you got to really guard this word. When you hear from God, you got to guard your heart and guard that word. And don't run out and ask everybody's opinion. I think God said this to me. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And that's normally what people do. They run to their friends and their family, and they get 100 different opinions about something. Now they're really messed up. If you do you realize what the cheapest thing in the world is? It's advice. And you tell me what I should do. Sure, it's free. I'll give you all the advice you want. You can get it from anybody. When you hear from God, you just hold that. Don't go talk to everybody, even in church. Well, what about in the multitude of counselors, there's of wisdom? Yeah, but don't go there until you have got settled. I know what God said first. Then it's okay to after I am sure and confident, I know what God said. God gave me this word, and I ain't going to change it for anything in the world. Then you go to the multitude of counselors, and there might be some application points and things that you'll learn from, and that's fine. But not until I know what God said to me. I don't know what he said to you, but I know what he said to me. And so you guard your heart there. So do you know every person has the capacity to hear God, even lost people? I've heard Christians say, well, a lost person can't hear God. Where did you get that from? Let me ask you a question then. How did you get saved? You had to hear God to get saved. You heard through a preacher. You heard through television evangelists. Your mother, your father. Somebody shared the gospel with you, and it rang true in your heart, and you heard. You may not have known it, but you actually heard God talking to you about getting saved. Everybody has the capacity to hear God. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. For there's no distinction between a Jew or a Gentile. The same Lord is over all, generous toward all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word is also delivered and healed. How shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And a preacher's not the guy that's on Sunday in church. You're the preacher. You're the one supposed to be saying what God's saying. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You can't have faith without hearing God. I love the story in the Bible where Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. Yeah. I'd love to have been there. That's one of my favorite stories. I actually tried it one time. Now, that's another story. We'll talk about it. That's another story. Peter's in the boat, and it's a storm, and he sees Jesus coming. I mean, they all freak out first, thinking this is a spirit, it's a phantom or something, you know. And Peter's the only one who spoke up and said, Lord, if that's you, let me come on the water to you. Do you know how much courage that took?
You better believe it.
Sometimes courage and insanity almost look similar, don't they? I'm serious. Yeah, I mean, a great faith is going to take a great risk. So Peter's in this boat, you know. He's up here like everybody else. He's in the boat. And Lord, if that's you, let me get out of this boat and come over to you. And what did Jesus say? One word. All you need from God is one word.
Amen.
You don't have to understand it. Now, he could have said, now, wait a minute. What does that mean? Does that mean come now, come later, wait till the boat gets to the shore? I don't know. Are you going to come over here and get me so I can come over there? I don't know. What does that mean, God? You got to explain this to me. So I need some more detail so I can come to you. I don't walk on water. You do. What does that mean? He heard one word. Do you think he understood it? Not fully, but he took a risk. What if he's wrong? Well, if I'm wrong, I'll know in a moment. and he stepped out. Oh! Whoa! Lord! Oh! Wow! And then he saw the wind and the waves. Wait a minute, what am I doing out here? Now listen, Peter walked on the water. That's a miracle. Is that a miracle? That's a miracle. But as soon as he started to sink, what happened to the miracle? Jesus said to him, oh, ye of little faith. Why did you doubt? Fear. Doubt, unbelief, they're triplets, they go together. My greatest enemies are fear, doubt, unbelief. Probably your greatest enemies are fear, doubt, unbelief. The reason we don't see more miracles, signs, and wonders has to do with those three triplets, fear, doubt, and unbelief. We got to get it out of us. Get it out of us. Because all that took a miracle was faith, that's all it took. But all that was necessary to stop the miracle was fear, doubt, or unbelief. That's all it took. That's all it took. So I take you back to hearing God. You got to hear God for yourself. Don't go to somebody else. Tell me what God is saying to me. I mean, there's times for that. God gives prophetic words and prophecy. We believe that. But even then, you got to judge it and say, is that what God's saying to me? Or was that just thunder? Was that just thunder? How do believers get rid of unbelief? First of all, why do believers have unbelief? Because we're in this world. It's just saturated with unbelief. And how do believers get rid of unbelief? And that's another whole teaching, but I'll just give you a little preview of that. And, you know, there was a time when a man came with his son who had a demon, and he couldn't get to Jesus because the crowd, so he brought to his disciples. Jesus' disciples had a lot of experience casting out demons, and they were doing it just exactly like Jesus, but there was this one demon that this boy that wouldn't come out. Have you ever rebuked the devil and he doesn't buke? Something's going on. How come it didn't? It happened, but how come it's not happening now? And so they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus cast the demon out just like that. And later on, his disciples came to him and said, now, Lord, how come we couldn't do that? And Jesus' direct answer was because of your unbelief.
Yep.
Now, we had belief. We cast demons out before. How come we couldn't do it this time? It was your unbelief. I don't know all the details. Maybe things just weren't manifesting along like that had before. But somehow there was some unbelief that crept in. That's Jesus' answer. And people often confuse this. You got to be careful with this scripture in Matthew. Because you can read it and it almost sounds like this kind of demon doesn't come out except by prayer and unbelief. But that's not what Jesus is saying. If you look at the context of what he's talking about, the subject is unbelief. Now go back and look at it later. Maybe we'll talk more about this Wednesday night a little bit. But come back, go back and look at it. The subject is not the demon. The subject is unbelief. So he's saying this kind of unbelief doesn't come out except by prayer and fasted lifestyle that keeps your heart tender with God and tender to the Spirit. We fast because it gets you there faster. Let's play on words. Oh, I don't know. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Yeah. All right. So what caused the miracle? Faith. What caused the miracle to cease? Doubt. So if we're going for a miracle and it hasn't happened yet, we need to go back and check ourselves. Do I have fear, doubt, and unbelief in me? And God will help you deal with that. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
I mean, he is me. He's dealing with me on that and helping me with that, and I'm thankful for it. All right, let's go move forward. The last days, I believe, are here now.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. The last day, we're in the last days. I believe that. And I know people have said that all for generations, but I believe from the cross until now, until the Lord comes back, we're in the last days. So anyway, in the last days, the Bible describes the church of the last days in Revelation chapter 3. There are seven churches mentioned, and the seventh church is the church of the last days. And he describes that church as the Laodicean church, the people-ruled church, or the lukewarm church. You've read that before in Scripture. And Jesus comes to that church, and he speaks to that church. And he says to that church, he said, "For you say," the people of the last days were saying, "you have stored up goods. You have need of nothing. Yet you do not realize that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." So Jesus comes to the last days church who thinks they're doing pretty good because they look at, the church looks at the bottom line. How many nickels and noses do we have? And if we have a lot of nickels and noses, then guess what? We're doing pretty good. The danger of church is that you compare yourself with other churches. That's a big mistake. Big mistake. You have an assignment on your life. Every church has a unique assignment. Okay? It's not like Burger King. If you get a Whopper here, it's the same over there. The gospel message is the same everywhere, but every church has a distinct mission.
Amen.
Ours is to present Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that sets people free. So we are to present Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that sets people free. That's our mission in a just one little word sentence. And another church has a different mission, but we're all here to share the gospel. Don't get me wrong about that, but uniquely. So what I'm trying to say is that God spoke to this last day's church, which I believe is now. I think he's speaking to our church. I think he's speaking this word to every true, legitimate church of Jesus Christ on the planet right now. And he says to them, "You guys think you're doing good because you're looking at nickels and noses. That's not what I look at. That's not my bottom line.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
That's not what I called you to do." Instead, he says this to the church, I counsel you, buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can be rich. You think you're rich, but you're not rich. You think you're clothed, but no, you're naked. You're actually miserable inside, and you know it. you're blind spiritually. You don't really see the abundance of life that I have for you. And you're coasting in and living a lukewarm life. You're not where you're supposed to be. This is not what I called you to. I called you to something much greater and much higher. I counsel you, listen to me, and buy some gold from me. It's refined into fire. What's that gold? Peter said, our faith was gold refined into fire, going through the fire of persecution. And what is faith? Faith comes by hearing God. What has God said to me that I can say for sure, I know God said this to me? That's where your faith is. Faith cometh by hearing God. Not just hearing the word, but hearing the specific of what the Spirit is saying to you. What is the Spirit of God saying to me? Well, I don't know. Well, then you need to have ears to hear. Because you're missing out. And you think that it's okay to live that way without hearing a word from God? Well, we have the Bible. Well, yeah, you read the whole Bible. That's fine. But even out of the Bible, you ought to hear a word that's from you. Just like Peter heard a specific word, come, walk on the water. That word was specific for him. It wasn't for James or John or anybody else in the boat because they didn't ask. If James and John in the boat with Peter said, well, he did it. I'm going to get out too. I'm going to do it. And Jesus didn't give him the word. He gave Peter the word. I don't know what would have happened. That's just, you know, my mind thinking. But Peter got a specific word. That's why he could walk on the water.
That's right.
My short story of walking on the water was I said, I'm going to walk on the water. Peter walked on the water. I got faith. I'm going to walk on the water. And I went out and tried to do it in a swimming pool at a motel early in the morning with nobody there seeing me. And I said, God, I said on the edge of that pool, I said, God, I believe. I mustered up all the faith I thought I could get. I quoted the word to myself. I believe I'm going to walk across this pool, God, by faith. Because you said nothing's impossible. I'm going to do it. And I put my foot down the water, expecting it to be as hard as this floor. And my foot went all the way down the water. And I was deeply disappointed. I was deeply disappointed. I said, why? And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, I didn't call you walk on the water. You called yourself to walk on the water. So you need to hear God for yourself. You can't live off somebody else's word. That was Peter's word. That wasn't Gary's word. You can't live off somebody else's word. You need to hear the voice of God for yourself, not an echo coming from somebody else. What is God saying to you? If you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. He's got a unique assignment upon a church. He's got a unique assignment upon your life. He has plans for your life that may be different from my plans. You can't go off my prophetic word. You've got to hear God for yourself. What is God saying to you? You say, I don't know. Then get along. Go shut the door. Get behind the closet and talk to God. And don't come out until you hear at least one thing that He's telling you to do. And you do have to shut the door. Because all these voices will crowd in and try to tell you what you should do. So verse 17, he said, You're really poor, miserable, and blind. Verse 18 says, I counsel you to buy gold from me. Now, our battle as a Christian is once we hear a word from God, now we go to battle. Once God has clearly spoken to you and you've heard God, that's when you wage warfare. Because the enemy has come now, he's got to wreck that word or cause confusion in your mind or somehow to get you to let go of that word or just say, well, that was just thunder. He's got to confuse you because you have a word from Almighty God, and that's all you need. You can uproot mountains. You can break strongholds. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. If you have one word from God that's telling you to do that, that's all you need. You don't need anybody else's opinion. And here's the danger. When you hear from God and you even don't even first fully understand it, but you know God has spoken. Now you go to warfare. Because the enemy's coming at you 100 different ways to 100 different people. And you've got to guard that pure word. It's a pure word you've heard from God. You may not fully understand how it's going to apply, but you've got a word from God. And so you've got to guard it. Because the enemy's going to send people. He's going to send opinions. He's going to raise up opinions in your own mind, your own biases, your own judgments and so forth, to try to bring confusion to that word, to bring mixture. You had a pure word of God, so he's going to try to bring mixture in. So that word can get contaminated. That's why I say when you first hear God for yourself, don't go around asking your best friend what they think. Keep it in your heart between you and God, and you meditate on it and keep talking to God about it until he gives you further revelation. Because otherwise you'll get mixture and opinion. You first need to hear from God alone. And protect that word, because the enemy is going to try to kill, rob, and destroy that word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5, it says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and what? Imagination. And every high thing or every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." You're going to have thoughts come that are not from God. And you're going to have to be able to discern with the Spirit, because you have the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between your soulish mind and the Spirit, the truth, and knows and to discern that. And you're going to have to know the Word of God well enough so that you can discern that's the soulish man and this is the Spirit man. And it says that that word judges the thoughts and the intents of your heart. I got to move along. After you hear God speak to you, one word's all you need. You got to protect that word from it getting contaminated. This is especially true if you're working with a group of people. You got to make sure you protect that word. What has God said to me? And watch that word come about. In Revelation 3, that same church, the lukewarm church, in chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said this. He said, "Listen, those I love, I rebuke and I discipline." So even when you get a corrective word from God, it may be a rebuke. Thank God for it, that he loves you enough to correct you so you don't go off the edge. Therefore, listen, and it's in red, repent. If God gives you a corrective word, I want you to go and ask forgiveness of somebody. Ladies, don't listen for a moment. Usually, guys, that's usually to us. Go apologize to your wife. For being curt, being rude, ignoring, not paying attention, not listening. Okay, ladies, welcome back. We're glad you're here. It's trying to help all of us men out. And notice, it says, "Therefore be zealous and repent." And what comes right after the word repent? Now you can hear better. Now listen. He didn't say listen before. He said, first, you've got to change your heart. Something's got to change in here. Before you can hear. Something's got to change in here so I can hear properly. We call it repentance. Repentance just simply means change your mind. Change your mind so that you can hear God. Now you can hear. But unless you repent of what God's pointed out to you, you're not going any further. You're not going to be able to hear. Or when you do hear God, you'll say, "That was just thunder. Why did these people who heard the audible voice of God, some of them said that was just thunder?" Because their heart wasn't right. Had their heart been right, they'd have heard God. And those who said that was an angel. Their heart's not right. See how critically important it is for your heart to stay right with God as you're walking through life, because things will happen, and if you're not careful, you'll miss the voice of God when it comes in your daily walk, and you'll just say, oh, that was just a coincidence. If your heart's not right, you won't hear right. It'll be misconstrued. And after you hear from God, listen, after you've heard from God, no one should say, after you've heard from God, what do you think about that? Why are you going to another flawed human being when you've heard from God?
Amen.
Well, you say, well, I'm not sure that I've heard from God. Then hold on to it.
Yeah,
wait on the Lord. Hold on to it and go back to God and ask Him, God, I think you said this to me. Would you please confirm it to me some way, somehow, as I'm perusing your word, and make clear to me that I did hear from you? It's because sometimes we can make a mistake.
Amen. Right.
Amen. I'm the only one make a mistake. Anybody else here make a mistake?
Yeah.
So go back to God and ask Him.
Amen.
I've made mistakes, God, before. I need to make sure that I'm hearing you on this. Quickly, and we're going to wrap this up. Jesus said the most important parable of all of His teachings, the greatest of all parables, this is one you should know, is the parable of the sower and the seed in the soils.
Yes.
He said it's the greatest parable because out of it comes the teaching that's essential for you able to understand the rest of the parables. The greatest parable, He said. And just quickly, He describes in it four types of hearts or four types of soil that receive the word of God. Remember? Busy hearts, the path. Notice the birds, and He later on interpreted them to be demons, come quickly and steal the seed. That's why I've urged you, begged you, even given you journals. I beg you, people here, when you come under the anointed hearing the word of God, not just here, but any church that the preacher is preaching the anointed word of God, have a notepad so you can at least write down what, not every note, but something that's significant you need to go back to later on and talk to God about. Because the faintest ink is stronger than the strongest memory.
Come on. Amen.
You cannot remember it all. It's prideful to think that you could go in and listen for the counsel of the Lord and you're going to remember everything. You won't even remember what you're wearing today, next week, probably, right? So you need to write something down. If you're having an important meeting with somebody that's very important, you'd have a notepad with you so that you can make some notes. Well, you're having a meeting with God. Not because I'm preaching. Well, it is because I am preaching, because He did call me to be a preacher. But it isn't me. It's Him through me. Gotta be careful. Sometimes I'll say things like, well, it wasn't me, you know. I heard someone say one time to a pastor, this guy was trying to be humble, he preached his heart out, and a lady came out and said, Pastor, that was probably one of the best sermons I ever heard in my life. And he said, well, thank you, dear. That wasn't me, it was all God. And then she said, well, it wasn't that good. Because, oh, God, it'd be better than what you did. God uses us. Thank you that He uses us. Thank Him that He uses us. And let's don't be so high and mighty. It's all God. No, He spoke through a flawed instrument. So these parables of the soil, quickly, there's four different types of soil. And if you look at this and you do the math, three out of four people that hear the word of God today, only one of them is going to get it. That'll discourage any preacher right there. Three out of four people that hear the same word from God, three of them are going to say that was just thunder. One of them will get it and they'll take it home and chew on it and talk to God about it, and it'll grow into something in their life. I want to land this plane. Let me ask you a personal question here. Do you think God spoke to you through this service in some way? It could have been a song. It could have been a testimony. It could have been the preaching of the word. Do you think that God somehow said anything today through you in this hour and a half you've been here? Do you think he said something to you? I mean, don't say it for my sake, but you've got to come to that conclusion. Because if you didn't really hear anything from the Lord, there's a problem. There's a problem. And it's on your end. Has something to do with your heart. How could you come and give an hour and a half of focus and attention coming to hear God and not hear one thing? Something's wrong in here. Something's got to change. There's only a few reasons. One, if you're not born again, born of the Spirit of God. I mean, you hear God in the invitation to come get saved, and you need to respond to that. But if you don't respond to when God speaks, then it actually puts a layer of callous over your heart. Because he spoke to you and you ignored it, or you said it was thunder, or you just didn't pay attention. And then your heart starts to get harder and harder. In that Revelation church, chapter 3, Jesus said, I've come to the door and I'm knocking. And the more he knocks the first time, it's pretty clear. That was God talking to me today. But if you ignore it, your heart gets a little harder. And the next time God comes and knocks us, and the next time it isn't that God ain't knocking any louder, it's the fact that you've become hard of heart, you can't hear. Two times it says in Hebrews, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. In other words, today, if you will hear what God, the Spirit, is saying to you, don't harden your heart. Respond to him. Or else you harden your heart. And last day's church is going to be a lot of hardened hearts. Because they're looking at the bottom line. Oh yeah, nickels and noses, I'm doing good. And God said, no, you're not. You're poor, miserable, wretched, naked, and blind, and don't even see. This is not what I called you to live. I didn't call you to be comfortable. Someone said the word of God is given to comfort the afflicted, but it's also given to afflict the comfortable. Oh, wow. I can get too comfortable. Yes. And God says, that's not what I called you to. Yes. Amen. I have a mission and assignment on your life. I didn't call you to be comfortable. Yes. Amen. I called you to hear my word and be my spokesman. And when I say something, I want you to do it. Amen. I've called you. I have an assignment upon your life. And if all you're wanting from God is for him to bless you and make you comfortable, you're going to have to let affliction come and mess up your apple cart. And it'll be so beautiful. You will be so thankful that he rebuked you. You'll be so thankful that he corrected you and didn't let you continue to be blind and live out your days. You say, I'm going to heaven anyway. Well, you can go to heaven, but when you stand before the Lord and he shows you all the plans that he had for you, and all you were interested in is getting comfortable, and you missed out on the miracles, signs, and wonders and things he wanted to do through your life, you're going to be greatly disappointed. There are tears in heaven. There are tears in heaven. God says he has to wipe away all tears. That's another message. So the question is, have you heard from God? And most of you said you heard something today. It wasn't thunder. You actually heard something from the Lord. Let me ask you this question. What will you do now that you heard the word from God? Faith without action is dead. If you don't do anything, the birds are going to come and eat that word. It's gone. You won't remember it next week. It's gone. If you don't guard it, write it down, talk to God about it, and go back and let God explain more about what he wants to do, it's gone. It's gone forever. What are you going to do today? Today, if you'll hear his voice. harden not your heart. Whatever, I don't know what God's told you. All I know is what He's told me. And what He's told me, I'm giving to you. And you're here to receive from God, through me, a flawed man, a word that He's given me to give to you. But you can lose that word. It's gone forever. What are you going to do? You got to think about, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do? If it's a call to repent, then repent. Am I going to have to call somebody? Am I going to have to go get forgiven? Then do it quickly. Don't put it off. Am I supposed to get saved today? I need to receive the Lord Jesus and nail that thing down in my life and get that settled. Then do it today. Am I a believer, hasn't been baptized since I've been born again, then, and God tells me to be baptized, then be baptized. Amen. Just do what He tells you to do. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? Altar workers, would you come up and join me? I'm going to pray. And I always believe that there are people that God brings into the church on Sunday that truly are not born again. They may be religious, they may believe in God and do religious things, but there's some that are not born of the Spirit of God. And I want to ask you to ask God to speak to you. And I believe He will. He loves you so much. He doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want you to be deceived. I'm going to ask you to pray with your eyes wide open. I want you to ask God, not me, and don't do it just because everybody's expecting you to ask God right now out loud. God, am I born again of your Spirit? Yes or no? God, am I born again of your Spirit? Yes, ask Him. Come on, verbally ask. And then listen. Listen for His reply. And if God outright just said to you, no, then today's your day of birth. You can be born again. What must I do to be saved? Very simple. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that He's alive right now, and you confess with your mouth out loud, Jesus is Lord, my Savior, God says you'll be saved. That's a birth moment. Or you agree with God and God supernaturally comes down into your heart and enters with the Holy Spirit. That's a birth. That's just a start. But you have to start somewhere. And if God said no to you, or even if you're unsure, settle it right now. And say out loud with faith in your heart right now, Jesus, say it out loud. Jesus. I mean, everybody, come on, join. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're alive. You're raised from the dead. And you died on the cross for my sin. But you're alive right now. And you hear my words. I ask you, Jesus, come into my life. Live inside me. Forgive all my sin. And be my Lord, my God, and my only Savior right now. I hear your knock, and I open the door. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in right now. Now, it's quite possible some people have been born again right now. But you need, now, the devil's going to try to talk you out of that. You did it. I didn't make you do it. I encourage you, but if you just prayed that prayer out loud, I'm going to ask you to do something that may be kind of difficult for you in front of people. I'm going to ask you if you really meant it. I'm going to ask you to come up here and stand with me right now and just say, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer with you. You're going to need a little encouragement. You're going to need some advice and counsel of how you're going to walk this thing out. So if that's you, come on up here right now. Come up here right now. I'm just waiting. Amen. Awesome. Yeah, that's bold. That's bold. Amen. God bless you. You're a leader because you didn't hesitate. You didn't wait to see if anybody else was going to do it. You don't care.
Just like me.
This is all that matters. Anybody else? This is your day. It's your day. Praise God. How do you, Aaron? Aaron?
Someone calls me that.
Aaron?
It's Adam.
Adam. Oh, okay. Adam. The first man. Well, the first man today born again. Praise God. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You confess it with your mouth. And you're not ashamed to let it be known. Praise God. Come over here, honey. Hi. Hi. What's your name?
My name is Summer.
Summer?
Yes.
Praise God, Summer.
15.
That is awesome. So you believe in your heart Jesus is alive.
He is alive.
And he is alive.
He died for our sins.
He died for our
sins.
Amen. Came back to life. And he's the one you trust in, your Lord and Savior. Amen. Oh, you guys are bold. That's awesome. Stay right. Just stay right here. Stay right here. Let them just look at them. Anybody else? Somebody probably struggling right now. Boy, I know I need to do that. But come on. Yeah, the price is right. Price has been paid. Okay. I won't belabor this. Want some ladies, Pam, and maybe some other ladies to pray with Summer. And I want some men to come and pray with Adam and give him some counsel and encouragement. And I want to encourage you both. Now, hear me for 1 second, Summer. Summer, hear me 1 second. The first thing that God commands believers to do who follow him is that they ought to be baptized. You say, well, I've been baptized before. Well, if this is the day when you first believe, really believe, then it's believer's baptism. See, I was baptized 3 or 4 times because I didn't have enough sense to know I wasn't born again. So once you're born again, then you're baptized. No matter if you've been baptized, but now other times you just got dunked. Now you get baptized. So out of obedience, I'd encourage you to follow through. And if that's what you want to do, there's a sign-up sheet out back there. And Paula, would you help them afterwards, you know, if you want to do that. I'm not forcing you, but that's your you need to be obedient in the Lord and believer's baptism. Amen. Now, amen. Go ahead and counsel with them. And I'd encourage you to take them over to the side where you can talk privately. Wonderful. Now, there's others of you. You heard from God today. Before you rush out and forget it, write it down, whatever you think God said to you. I'd encourage you to get somebody, one of these counselors up here, to pray with you about that. And say, seal this word. You don't have to tell them what it was, but just have them pray for you that word be protected and God help you. So I'd encourage you to act on it by faith some way. So Father, thank you for your word. It will not return void. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, let me ask you one last question. Ready? Are you ready? Was that thunder? God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Amen. We're here to minister and pray for you. If you like prayer for anything, that's what we love to do.